All right, 1 Timothy chapter number 4, the Bible said, verse number 10, "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach." We covered that this morning. We finished on that. "Because we trust in a living God who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. These things command and teach." That's some pretty stout words. He's telling Timothy as a preacher, command the people to do that, teach those things. Then he said, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers in the word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine." Brother Donnie Roberts, you pray and ask the Lord to help us, would you please? Amen. Thank you. Summer, I appreciate your testimony. For those of you that don't know, she's not real loud. And for her to give a testimony is a big deal. She's not a real outgoing. But when she's up here singing that song about Carried Her Away, she's not at the top of her register, but she's at the top of her volume. And she's about as loud as she can get right there because she's overwhelmed by excitement about it. And it transfers to you. She's up here singing. You can't teach that. That's not a performance, that's ministering. And that excitement, that what she's singing about, it transfers to you. That's why you jump up and that's why you stand up. Now, some of you visiting, and you may not know, it happens sometimes on a Sunday morning. When somebody stands, that's their way of saying amen. They don't always stand and shout or stand and kick a leg or whatever. Sometimes they just stand up. Sometimes I've preached in some churches, and especially you preach in the black church, sometimes you'll get preaching and they'll just stand up there because they're getting a blessing. And they just stand up. Sometimes they'll just stand there while you're preaching and be like this. Just listening. They can't sit still. That's not disrespectful. That's them showing respect for the word. They're standing in reverence. So don't be put off by that. That's what happens. You'll see Biggin that sits down here. He's having to work. They had to had a shooting the other day, and he's having to deal with all that stuff because of his position down there. That's where he's at tonight. But sometimes you'll see him, or maybe Miss Robin. They stand up. You say, "What is that? God's blessing me. God's blessing me." It's not always an amen. It's not always a hand up in the air. Don't get afraid of that. That doesn't mean charismatic. That's just praise the Lord. And I'm not keeping anything back from you. I don't have anything, you know. I'm not robbing you, Lord, that kind of a deal. But no, it's praise the Lord. And then sometimes it's amen. And here we're vocal. And don't let that change when it comes time for the Jubilee. You're going to hear some great singing. The group from Anchor Baptist will be here, and the Elliott's, the Evans girls will be down here to sing for you. And you'll have all kind of preaching. The Pilkingtons will be down here and stuff. And if the Lord trips your trigger, let it rip. Amen. Say amen. You say, "Well, I'm a woman." Okay, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Now, if you decide to stand up and preach, I'll be glad to take care of that. But you don't have to worry about that. The ladies know the boundaries. There's nothing wrong with you getting excited about it. But holler amen. Praise the Lord. Don't just holler amen when I'm preaching on your husband. That's not the time to do that. It's, you know, fair and balanced. Right? You fellas, sometimes I never hear you holler a stinking holy grunt, and then all of a sudden I'll say something about Proverbs 31 and I'll hear, "Amen, preacher. Park right there a while," you know. Yeah, you old mossy back jackleg you, man. You ought not be that way. Be fair and balanced across the board. And if you can't say amen, say oh me. But when you get a big crowd of folks in here, like we get on Sunday mornings around here, don't let that sequester you. You know what it does? Brother Larry jumps up pretty often. You say, "Well, what is that?" Well, he's an old deacon. Brother Brad will say amen. You don't hear him a lot of times. He's not real loud, but he'll go, "Amen, that's right, amen." Next time he does and he gets on a roll, I'm going to put my microphone in his. So y'all know he's actually doing it. But what that does is because they're older saints, it gives confidence for other people that are listening. They're like, "Oh, okay, the preacher must be on it. I know Brother Bert. He said amen. Must be okay. Preacher must be on it." And so some of you aren't that way. You can every now and then you get Brother Dan. He jumped. Here's Brother Dan. Brother Jam's Dan's trigger is the Bible and Jesus Christ. If you mention Jesus Christ and salvation by the blood atonement, he'll be just about ready to take a nosedive out of the balcony. That trips his trigger. That's him. I know him. I know I can get one out of him. Now he's aware of it. Now he's kind of like, "Well, I ain't saying nothing no more." I'll catch him off guard. I'll catch him. And when I do, he'll be, "Amen," you know, like real loud. And y'all are like, "Who is that?" That's Brother Dan. But when you trip his trigger that way. But listen, don't ever lose that liberty that you have, ladies and gentlemen. enjoy being with Jesus Christ. And when he helps you, let it rip. And if your tears flow, you come to the altar like this morning and pile up the plate. Good. Praise the Lord. Thank God you got somewhere to come. Don't ever let anything sequester you or to keep you from that kind of thing. Around here, you don't have to worry about being charismatic. You say, why? I know your pastor. You won't ever get too wild. He'll pull it back the other way pretty quick. So it's not a matter of can we get it up to the crescendo. And we know when to be quiet. Sometimes you folks are quiet. Some guys come in here and preach. Now the majority of the guys that preach here enough times, they've learned if they're quiet, y'all are quiet. It doesn't mean you don't like what they're saying. It means you're thinking. You're eating. You don't talk with your mouth full. Sometimes you're eating and you're just not vocal. It doesn't mean you're not enjoying it. It's kind of like, I don't want to talk with steak in my mouth. Leave me alone. It takes time to chew it. The guys have learned that. You got some great preachers here. I mean, you got some guys that can step in, man, and you don't see no dip, man. I mean, these guys work hard at what they do. You got some great preachers. You folks have produced some good people here. You really do. I mean, you got a good, solid core group of people here. This thing's not in danger. If something happens to one person, it's going south. You're deep now. You're what a ball club looks for. You got enough on the bench that if you have to run some substitutes in there, you don't notice any difference in the performance.
Good, brother. Good.
That's a blessing.
Yes.
You got some depth to you. That means it gives you some security. But take advantage of it. Get around it. These folks come in here, get to know them. Have them over to your house. Take them out to eat. You ain't going to bother me. Talk about the preacher. I don't care. Don't bother me. Of course, you might find some of those guys might be, you know, a little bit prejudiced toward me, and they're my friends and things like that. But get to know them. Take them out. Be hospitable with them. Take advantage of finding out what they do. I mean, they'll be here from all necks of the woods, and you'll be enjoying that. But I just want to throw that at you. All right, now notice this thing here. He said, command you in verse number 12. He said, let no man despise thy youth. Now he's fixing to give you some things to understand. Do you see this? There's a semicolon there. That means he's going to continue the thought. It's not just a statement in and of itself. Let no man despise thy youth. He's saying, don't do the following things I'm going to tell you, and that's going to make them despise your youth. In other words, don't be stupid. Come to 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5. You know what the first thing he says there? He's basically saying to you, be an example to other people. Now this has to do with Christian responsibility. This has to do with now that I'm saved, I want to be more than just saved. I want to be a Christian. Well, the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. What is a disciple? It's a person that exercises discipline. Listen, you have to exercise discipline to get a job. You got to show up at a certain time. That means you have to get ready. You got to get a shower. You got to get dressed. You got to get all your home business done, house stuff done, get all the stuff with your car, and then you have to show up for work, do what the boss tells you to do in order to get a paycheck, right? That's discipline. It requires discipline to do that. There's times you don't feel like going, you got to go. Right? Life's not just, you know, a box of chocolates, as that guy said, or whatever, and you just get to do what you want when you want to do it. It doesn't work like that. There's times where you have to go whether you want to go or not. That's called a discipline. Well, being a Christian's no different. As a Christian, you know what you're going to have to learn? You're going to have to learn you can't always do what you want to do. There'll be a constant struggle in your life all the time. Your character is going to fight itself. Am I going to walk in the flesh or am I going to walk in the Spirit? Well, the flesh says I want to do this and other people do that. The Spirit says I don't care what other people do. I don't want to do that. And the flesh says, well, I don't really see a problem with it. And the Spirit says, well, the Bible says. And the flesh says, why you got to bring that stuff up? Well, I don't know. Other people do that. Well, I don't say. And the next thing you know, you feel like I got to go see the doctor and get some medicine. I'm whacked out, man. No, you got to make up your mind. Get off the cotton picking fence.
Amen. Amen.
I'm not a legalist. I'm not here to give you a bunch of rules and regulations to follow you. You say, why? He nailed the handwriting of ordinances to the cross. You're now free. You're free to serve Jesus Christ. You don't have to serve sin anymore. Your liberty is not for an occasion to the flesh. It's not to see how far you can get it. All things are lawful. All things are not expedient. You better watch what you do on Sundays, no matter what the reason is for. You say, why? I'm not worried about offending him. I'm going to give the truth whether you like the truth or not. It doesn't make any difference for that. That's why he's here. That's why he's here to begin with. But what you need to understand is, what's right for you? Well, what does God say? Well, this is what God tells me. Then don't worry what anybody else is doing.
Amen.
Are you hearing me? Well, you know, they do this and their kids are allowed to do that and all that. That ain't none of your business. They're you kids?
Amen.
They're not your kids? Then stay out of their business.
Amen.
You say, well, you know, if I had to raise them and this and that and the other. Well, if they're being that bad of an influence, don't let your kids be around them.
Amen.
You got to be careful about that stuff. What does that person's kid do? Well, I let my kid here. Well, I don't let my kid there and all that. Listen, there's a responsibility. I know you should learn this much about that right off the bat. And being an example, which I'm going to show you in a second, you ought to learn this. It might be good not to let everybody know everything you do. Because what you might be doing might be okay for you, but it may not be for everybody else. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Can anybody on this side say amen? Where are you at, Brother Holland? You kind of quiet like a stinking church now. Okay, well, thank you. Man, I mean, he's already blew your horn over here, you know, and I mean, he's already lifted you up and gave you props and all that, and then you're over there like, Mr., you know. No, you're raising kids. You say, why? Kids are they're as different as snowflakes. And parents are too. God, let me ask you a question. I need to ask you because your husband's not here tonight. But when Sophie hatched out, did she come with a manual? No? No instruction manual. Oh, wow. No wonder. When all else fails, read the instructions. But there wasn't a manual. Can I just tell you this? The parent has a child. It's the child, the parent's first child. A parent nowhere near as good as a grandparent. You say, why? Grandparent learns by experience. Grandparents have enough sense that when you bring the kids over, they say they can stay 2 hours and come pick them up. When you're a parent, you can't, it's like, you stuck. You are stuck with them, right? You with me? So what you have to understand is that not just kids are growing, parents are growing. You know what sometimes parents do? Parents do some stupid things. And you know what you better learn? They need some time to go, well, I ain't doing that no more. Oopsie, made a mistake there. Can anybody, is that true? Or y'all are like, well, thank you, man. I'm feeling better now already. You know, pastors are that way too. They actually make mistakes. I appreciate y'all not saying amen. That was kind of you. But they do. They do. I've been in places where guys are very, very young and they're doing, and you're thinking, and here's what you want to say. Could I sit down and spend 1 hour with you so you can learn from the mess I made? Because you are fixing to make a bigger mess than I made, but you could learn from my mess if you just listen. But sometimes they got to learn the hard way. Now what you have to understand is being an example. Timothy's been called into the ministry here and he's supposed to be a preacher. And Paul's telling him now, he said, don't let them despise your youth. How? Don't let them act because you're acting your age and not your shoe size. Don't be stupid. Don't do crazy stuff. Look in 1 Peter chapter number 5. We'll run through these as quickly as possible. Verse number, make it 2. 1 Peter 5, 2, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, watch it, but being ensamples to the flock. You know what he said a preacher's supposed to be and a Christian's supposed to be? An example to other people. He's not even talking about to the world. You think the world understands that you don't smoke, drink, cuss, and chew and go with them that do? You think the world understands your standard of living, reading your Bible, study, pray, come to church? You think they understand you people coming down here this morning to the altar and talking to God, help me, Jesus, help me? You think they understand that? He's not talking about the world. He said being an example to the flock. To the people you're around all the time. You say, why? You're supposed to set the example. I take it very seriously. I take it that when parents bring a kid here and we dedicate a kid, for me it's time to re-up. I re-sign right there. Not resign, I re-sign. You say, why? I remember when Bubby was a squirt. No, I'm not kidding. Y'all don't even remember he's so big now. You're thinking, he's always been that way. No, I remember him when he was a stinking knee cruncher, man. I remember when you walk around him, he would trip you because he's running around on the floor and stuff like that. He's always been a little rambunctious and all that stuff. He's a full-grown man now.
Yeah.
You say, what do you have to do? I'm supposed to set an example so that Josh and Marina don't say, well, I'm sorry the preacher set a bad example for you, Bubby, and I'm sorry you don't have anybody to look to, Bubby, and I'm sorry that when you saw the preacher at church, he was out of bounds and acted silly and telling dirty jokes and doing things he shouldn't do. No, when they dedicated that boy, you know what it is? I have a responsibility to them and to him to set the right example. Be an example to the flock.
Amen.
Your kids ain't going to always hit it out of the ballpark, but you know what I want them to do? I want them, when they put me in the box, I want them to go by and say, well, at least the preacher tried to help me. At least the preacher was there when I needed him. At least the preacher prayed for me. At least he set an example for me. At least he was faithful and that kind of a thing. I'm not trying to be some knight in shining armor. That's ridiculous. But I want them to know that I'm at least trying. I don't take advantage of the liberty I have to do what I want. You say, why? I wouldn't want to hurt one of your kids for nothing in this world. You say, what would I do? I wouldn't do it before I thought it would hurt them. I've learned this about kids. I love them. I really do. But I've learned this about kids. If you give them an inch, they think they're a ruler.
Yes.
And don't tell me you weren't the same way.
Yes.
I've learned whatever you do in moderation, they will do in excess.
That's right.
So you know what you better do? You better reel it in. Say, well, I only listen to a little easy listening every now and then, you know, a little, you know, golden oldies from the 70s and, you know, and that kind of thing. A little country western every now and then and stuff like that. And then you wonder why your kid's a punk rocker and listening to all that other stuff. Well, you said it was okay, Mom and Dad. No, I didn't say it was okay. It's a different kind of music. It's the same stuff. The beat's a little different, Mom and Dad, but they're talking about the same
Yes. Feel.
Yes. Amen. I didn't mean to offend you, brother. Excuse me. You set that one up. That's too easy. All right, now come back, if you will, to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I love Sunday night.
Amen.
Sunday night. All right, now notice. Let's go through these things right here. Notice they're separated by a semicolon first and then a comma. If there's an English major in here, you'll know that we're continuing the thought. He says, be thou an example and to the believer of the believers. Now watch. Where? In word. Don't talk like a fool. Don't act like a child. Don't talk with modern speech, especially when you're teaching or preaching the Bible. You want to be very, very careful about getting too close to the edge. If you came from the hood and you grew up doing things you shouldn't do, stop talking like you still belong there.
Amen.
You came from a rough background, you were in the Marine Corps, or you were in the Army, or the Navy, the Air Force, the Coast Guard, whatever one I'm leaving out, or for me, being around policemen. That's some of the filthiest talking people you ever heard in your life. You say, what is that? You ain't got to let everybody know everything you heard. Don't talk like you're from the world. He said, be an example in word. When you talk to these kids, don't try to get on their level and talk with all their slang. And don't be throwing signs at them and, you know, and throwing shade on them and all that other kind of stuff. Hey, baby, we good, you know. I mean, it'll go a little bit for you at youth camp every now and then. But be a parent. But kids, he's instructing a young boy here, a young man. The man's name's Timothy. You know what he said? Be an example in word. If you don't know words, then start reading. Everything in life is not a video. It's not a picture. See the pretty picture. Do you like the picture? I like the picture. Did you see the picture? I'm sitting next to a plane coming back the other day. It is dark 30, man. Get up 2 in the morning and get ready to go because I needed to get back and had stuff going on with him and that kind of a deal. And I'm sitting on the airplane and there's two women sitting right over here and they've got coloring books. And the women are every bit as old as I am. They had to be in their 50s or 60s. And God knows if they weren't that old, they sure looked that old. And one of them's drawing a picture of a panda and the other one had a unicorn. And they're coloring it. A coloring book. You say, well, I guess life's rainbows and unicorns. I just kept looking and I thought, well, isn't the picture pretty? Well, what words do you know? I wouldn't be surprised if they were like, I don't know how to communicate. I don't know any words. Do you have a picture? Yes, here's A for apple. Can you say apple? Learn to read. Learn to read a book without pictures in it. Let God draw pictures in your mind. Let Him draw pictures in your imagination. Let God put the right word association in there. All right, he says, first of all, in word. Then come down to the next thing and look what he says. In conversation. Now, let me show you something about a King James Bible. Come to Galatians chapter number 1. Conversation right there doesn't mean words. You say, how do you know? Did you see what was the first one that we went in? The first one was word. The second was conversation. You say, well, that's using words to communicate. No, I'm going to show you here in just a second. The conversation here is how you live. It's how you walk, not how you talk. He's saying, set an example. He's saying, don't let them despise your youth because you're acting like a hoodlum. Look in Galatians chapter number 1 and look at verse number, 13. That's it. 12. For I neither received it of any man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Paul's saying, remember how I lived? Remember what I counted but dung? Remember when I persecuted the church? Remember when I had Stephen stoned? Remember when I made orphans because I killed mamas and daddies out of children and widows out of women? Paul said, remember my actions back there? He says in 1 Peter chapter number 3, for you ladies, you know what he said? He said, if your husband's not obeying the word, he said, let it be by your meek and quiet spirit and the conversation, by beholding your chaste conversation. That means seeing how you're in subjection to the word. Let me show you this. Some of you are doubting me. I see forehead furrowed. Come to 1 Peter. And conversation here is your manner of life. It's part of the ministry that you need to learn. It's your conduct. Many people despise that and cause it to be despised. Why? Because they're hypocrites. They act like jerks. In the name of Jesus sometimes. 1 Peter chapter 3, that is in the New Testament. There it is, finally. Verse 1, likewise ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, notice, without the word, be won by the what? Look at your King James Bible. Now you know conversation there's not words, that they can without the words. That means, ma'am, if he is not listening, shut up and act right and let God take care of it. You want to see God put on something on him that Ajax won't take off? Shut your mouth and you know what you say? Lord, I'm tired of talking. I'm laryngitis. I can't talk no more. Lord, I'm going to do everything you tell me to do and I'm going to keep my mouth shut. And you watch the Lord pull out a paddle about like that. And you watch him go to work on that man. You'll be praying on his behalf before long. Okay, Lord, that's enough. Lord, I mean, don't hurt him. I mean, come on, Lord. Well, you didn't feel that way just a couple of weeks ago there, sister. Well, yeah, but you know, poor fellow, you know, he's kind of always sort of been that way, a little slow. Now, you know, don't be so. I mean, listen, that if the Bible's right, if he obey not the word, that's not just talking about salvation. That means if he's being a jerk, you know what he just said? Here's your marital counseling 101. Shut your mouth and act right. Yes. And then you know what happens? God steps in there and said, I'll take care of him for you, sister. Man, you want to get the Lord on somebody's dingbat, you just do what God tells you to do. You might be surprised. All right, back to Timothy real quick, if you would please. Racing the clock just a little bit here this evening. All right, notice he said, be thou an example of the believers. You're setting an example of what a believer looks like to the world, but also to other Christians. In word and conversation, look at that thing in charity. What is charity? A willingness to forgive personal wrongs, personal insults, give them a second chance, go out of your way to have compassion on people. Have you ever read 1 Corinthians 13? Let's just go there. It'll just be a quick thing. You want to see God's mind on paper? You want to see what God's personality's like? I'll show you God's personality in writing. Paul says in verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and all knowledge, and though I have faith so I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And then he says it doesn't profit me anything if I'm doing all these good things. Now you want to know what it says? He said, be an example in charity. You want me to show you what it is, Dad? You want me to show you what it is, Mom? You want me to show you what it is, kid? If you're a Christian, this applies to you. What is it? Verse 4, it suffers long. It means you put up with other people. It means you live with it. Number 2, it's kind. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even for, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That means you don't use leverage against somebody for your own manipulation or try to put words in somebody's mouth. You're being mean-spirited because you're trying to manipulate them. Be kind, he says. Notice what else. It envieth not. We're just talking about charity, right? Means you want something they got, like their reputation or like their position. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. It doesn't lift itself up, doesn't raise itself up, doesn't brag on itself. It's always on somebody else. Doth not behave itself unseemly. That's indecent. You don't do something that's indecent. You wouldn't want to be doing something that if the Lord were to come, catch you at it. Unseemly. Seeketh not her own. I don't need to give you explanation of all these. Is not easily provoked. Here's a good one. Charity thinketh no evil. The old preacher would say, don't drink water out of a root beer bottle. Back in my day, a root beer bottle was a brown glass bottle. It looked like a beer bottle. They're setting an image there in mind. You walk by and think somebody's drinking a beer when they're drinking that. They're drinking root beer. Why they got to put it in a beer bottle? But they do. He'd say, don't tie your shoes in somebody else's watermelon patch. You say, why? They think you're stealing the watermelon. No, I was just tying my shoes. No, you weren't. How do I know that? You're wearing loafers. You know what he says? And not thinking evil. You see two people over here talking and they quit talking when you walk by. You immediately think they're talking about you. Thinketh no evil. Give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm just talking about charity. That's what he said. If I don't want to behave myself, that'll make them despise my youth. Then he says this, not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. That means you're not glad when somebody messes up. You want to be careful if a Christian falls, not to jump on the bandwagon and be rejoicing over it. You want to be real careful. Don't be a purveyor of that kind of filth. If a Christian messes up, the next thing you know, over there on the other side of the world, they're hearing about a Christian's adultery or his foolishness or something like that. Hey, if the Lord wants it out, let him get it out. Don't be a purveyor of that stuff. It's not a good thing for you to do. Not your business to do that. Rejoices not in iniquity. Rejoices in truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Here's a good one. Charity never fails. You can always count on a charitable person. In spite of how they might feel, 1 Timothy 4 about you, you know what they'll always do? They'll always be there. I got some friends like that. I might upset them sometime in the pulpit. And if I call them and tell them my tire's flat, they'll come change it. So why don't you change your own tire? Because I got guys that'll change it for me. I can change a tire. But what I'm trying to illustrate to you is charity rises far and above their own personal feelings. They rejoice in truth, not feeling. The preacher's telling me the truth. He told me the truth. I didn't like the truth, but I like the preacher because he told me the truth. He didn't compromise because of my friendship with him and cut a corner. He did what I asked him to do. You know what I know? I know he loves me.
Amen.
You know what, kids, you got a parent that'll tell you the truth in spite of the fact that it makes you so mad you can't see straight, makes you want to grit your teeth and go to your room, do the stomp and turn and all that other kind of stuff. You know what you know about that parent? That parent loves you.
Yes.
That parent loves you because they have enough guts to tell you no. Well, I know of abuse and all that. Okay, I know there's exceptions. I understand that. But that's not the rule. The rule is nowadays, if a parent tries to tell you what's right to do, you know, you got a good parent. When a parent will come in and sit down and say, hey, bud, I'm sorry, I overreacted a little bit. Yeah. Now, maybe you never did that. I had a dad that was real good about that. I was never afraid when my dad got ready to give me my whooping. You say, why? I always knew that if he felt like he overstepped, he'd be the first to come in and say, hey, bud, you all right? My dad never overreacted in physical things. Man, he had a way with words, boy. Whew. Son. I mean, he could lay it on, man. I tell you, there's a couple times there I'd have rather had the whooping. The time he got done giving me a verbal licking, I was like, whoo, man, could you just whip me now? Because I let him down. I loved him. But you talk about a master word crafter. My goodness, he could put it across. But it had the impact because I knew he loved me. And he would tell me the truth. And if he thought he bore down a little bit too hard, he wasn't afraid to say, hey, bud, you know, I might have overcooked that one a little bit there. You know, he never was. But you were still wrong, you know. He just might have overcooked it a little bit. All right, come on down there a little further. In conversation, in charity, how about in spirit? What is it in spirit? In spirit is your attitude. In spirit's not in the Holy Spirit. In spirit is your attitude toward God, toward the church, toward the ministry, toward other people, toward trouble, toward success, toward persecution, toward victory, toward success, all those kinds of things. It's your attitude. When's the last time you checked your attitude? One of the guys said, you know what? I have a bad attitude. I've had a bad attitude. The whole world smells. And his wife said, well, honey, if you get the Limburger cheese off your mustache, it probably wouldn't smell quite so bad to you. But some people I know, that life is Limburger cheese all the time. Their attitude is bad all the time. I mean all the time. About everything. Suspicious about everything. Don't trust nobody. Everybody's trying to do something to them. Everybody's trying to get something. Everybody's always ahead of them. They always got to wait. They got it out for them. They go into the hospital. They're late getting in. And somebody's picking on them. They didn't get to pick first. They didn't get the first room. They didn't get the first doctor. They didn't get waited on at the restaurant. They didn't get picked on. They got to the store. The lady closed down the register and had to change the other thing. It's just this mindset all the time. In spirit, how's your attitude? How's your attitude? How's your attitude towards the things of God? How's your attitude when the God does things you don't understand? He said, be an example in spirit. Don't run around with the mully grubs all the time. Don't run around with a bad attitude all the time. Don't run around with your hind end on your shoulders all the time. Just mad. Cranial inversion. Just mad. Just you know, mad about who sings, mad about who preaches, mad about who's here, mad about who ain't here, mad about this, where they spend the money, what they do with this, what they do with that, how come they down there washing the park, ain't nothing but tires driving on it anyway, and all that kind of, just mad.
Right.
Just mad. Just mad all the time. How's your spirit? You know what he said? Don't let them despise your youth because you got a rotten attitude. Kids, you better mark my words. You got a lot and you've been given a lot. You live like kings around here, and I'm not here to drive it about and talk about we walk 50 miles uphill in the snow with holes in our shoes and that kind of a thing. But you got a lot, and it'd be real easy for you to gripe and complain because you don't have what everybody else has. Your parents have provided for you. I see you, man. Most of you wearing the modern clothes. You're wearing the modern shoes. You youngins have got on jewelry and things. Nearly every one of you's got a cell phone. You turned 17 years of old. I watch you driving out of the parking lot. You're already driving, some of you. Don't tell me you hadn't got it good. You better watch your attitude. You better watch your attitude when mom and dad tell you get your blessed assurance at the home by 9 o'clock. You better. 9 o'clock? Yeah, I tell you what, you ain't going nowhere. Give me them keys.
Right. Amen.
You say what? Because you got a bad attitude.
Right.
You got a bad attitude. You better not have a bad attitude when the Lord tunes you up either. Lord, when it comes down there and, you know, puts a through swats on your dingbat, you better say, yes, sir, Lord, I deserve it. Thank you, sir.
Amen.
The Lord calls you, sir, yes, sir, what can I do? I like that. I like the military bearing. You say, why? It shows respect.
Yes.
The Lord calls you and gets your attention. How do you respond? Well, not bad, Lord, if he'll wait till after I get my first cup of coffee. Don't call me at 4. Well, sometimes he calls you at 4 because somebody needs it. You say, why? He sees what that guy's going to go through during the day, and he knows he needs your prayer to get enough grace to get him through the day.
Amen.
How's your attitude? That's what he means by spirit. Talk and set an example in spirit. You'd be surprised how much that spirit can overcome a lot of things, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
You'd be surprised how your parents can overlook things just because you have a good attitude. Some of you, sometimes you get a little pouty, you get a little snotty, you get a little bratty. I told that young'un today, Winnie, I told her, I said, we talk about eternal security a little bit, it's important to go over. And I told her, I said, now, here's the thing, you need to understand you can't lose your salvation. If you meant that prayer, you're saved. I pray God to give you assurance of your salvation. And then I showed her the verses in the Bible and I let her read them out there. And she got the thing down. I said, do you understand? And she said, yeah. And I said, now that doesn't excuse you being a brat. That means you can still be saved and act like a brat. I said, I bet you get a little bratty every now and then. She just kind of grins and put her head down. I said, that doesn't mean you lost your salvation. It means you're out of fellowship. Get a bad attitude, right? You know what you need to do? You get that little rebellious, bratty kind of an attitude and things didn't go your way and you get a little snotty and you straighten it up. You say, why? Because they're going to despise your youth. All because of attitude. Notice, if you will, please, the next thing is in faith. In faith. What do I do? How do I set an example? In faith, waiting on God for answers to prayer. In faith and claiming His promise. Here's one I struggle with. In faith and trusting God in all situations. I know how to preach it, but how to live it, whew, is hard. I know it's best. I know all the things to say. I'll be honest with you. There's times I've prayed I didn't think God was going to answer it. I mean, I'm a realist. I'm just being honest with you. It's up to him. Why? And then he answers a prayer, and it's like, why do I get that? I was expecting you not to do it. And the Lord's like, well, because I thought I would do it. But how about your faith there? How about your faith in the second coming of Jesus Christ? How about your faith in the rapture? How about your faith in what the book says about whatever the situation is? You know what he says? He said you're supposed to not let them despise your youth. In what? In your faith. And exercising your faith. You know what I'm talking about? I'm giving you right out of the Bible how you're supposed to act as a Christian.
Yes.
You believe that? That's a tough thing. Notice what he says. Now here's a tough one for you. Watch closely, kids. In what? Y'all got quiet right there, didn't you? In purity. Come to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. In purity. That's not just in the standpoint of being a virgin when you're married. That's in purity. Meaning not impurity. In purity. 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. That means clean. That means avoid filth. Moral, religious, social, fellowship, friendship with other people. That means clean living. Friendship with the world is enmity with God.
Amen.
You know what he's telling you? He's telling you something that a lot of preachers nowadays, a lot of Christians don't talk about. Be clean. But it's not just in the sense of sexual purity. It's your life in all things. You want me to get a little bit personal with you? That includes your business relationships.
Amen.
I know a man recently had an opportunity to make several $100,000. But the man he had to do business with in order to make the money doesn't have the reputation for being straightforward and kind of does some fishy, sort of squishy business dealings. And he walked away from the deal because he said, as soon as I do a job with that guy, even if I do it all above board, you know what he told me? He said, everybody will think I do the same things he does because I did business with him. He said, there ain't no kind of money worth losing your reputation over. You say, what is that? That's not letting them despise your youth. You say, well, I'd have gone ahead and made the money. Yeah, and that's why you got the reputation you do. I know some Christians I wouldn't do business with. You say, why? You got a reputation. You smell like a dead fish. You say, what? You're not pure. Well, I don't treat on my wife and I don't watch bad stuff on TV. Why'd you go there?
Yeah.
How about friendship?
Sure.
How about people you're hanging out with?
Amen.
People that, you know, I mean, just kind of, you know, kids, you need to listen to me.
Amen.
You say, what? Your parents can tell you about trouble they got into because they ran with the wrong crowd. Gravity always pulls you the wrong direction. Are you that hard up for somebody to run around with? You run around with people that got leprosy?
That's it.
I wouldn't do it. Call me. I'll tell you some people to hang out with.
Sure.
You probably won't like them because they're not as wild as you are. I'll put you up there, Brother Larry.
Oh,
no, I really will. I'll have him teach you some things about turning wrenches. Let him take you for one run down the runway and back in that Corvette and then park it and say, okay, let me show you how you get there. Let you get your fingers dirty.
Yeah.
I put you out there and work with Brother Holland out there and running sewage clean outs. I take you over there to Brother Mitch's and have you get down there and sweep up hair after he's been cutting hair and shaving people and all that stuff. I mean, you talk about getting up close and personal.
Sure.
Putting a hot towel around your head and then taking a razor and shaving your head. And you, of course, you're hoping nobody scares him while he's, you know, you can hear them razors, them whiskers coming off like that. That kind of thing. I put you out there with Brother Matt. Put you a hard hat on you and get you out there running construction jobs.
Right.
You say, why? Well, that's the right kind of friends. You work hard enough during the day to keep you out of trouble at night.
Amen.
Yeah. That's what I do. Keep you busy.
Sure.
Keep you busy. Ladies, I got some people for you to be around. But you wouldn't like it. I know ladies that cook during the day for other people and wash clothes and clean. There was a time I was afraid we were going to have to do it at one of the youth camps. I was going to get some of the older women to teach girls how to iron. They didn't know how to iron and sew a button on. They're like, I know how to sew a button on. You go to the cleaners. You drive around the corner, you drop it off, say, sew the button on. Yeah, you came up a different time than I did. You have to sew your own button on. You don't have time to go everything to the cleaners, man. You got to be kidding me. I mean, in the day when you had to have everything supposed to be starched and all that stuff, you take them in about every third time or so. In the meantime, you wash them and press them yourself, even though it looks like the iron's a little too hot because they had a sheen to them, man. You look like the Tin Man walking around. But they were clean, but a little shiny, you know, they needed to have knocked down. And then you say to the girls, you're about making beds. Make beds? You don't make beds. Do you ever change the sheets? One girl told me, she said, yes, sir, you change the sheets. She said, what I do is I just turn the sheets around and get another week's worth of... I said, God help you, child, if you ever get married. cooking, cleaning. Yeah, she slept on one side and then she just turned it around to the other side. I guess whatever was on that side didn't cross the barrier or something. I don't. But she didn't know. I don't know why I brought that up, but oh, I was talking about young girls knowing how to do things. There was a time when I think it was Brother Roger, I don't remember, it was probably Josh. Anyway, one of the boys asked our guys how many of them knew how to change a tire. And more girls knew how to change a tire than the guys. And I said, oh Lord, we are in for some serious trouble. These guys are thinking about going out on a date with a girl and they have a flat tire. She's got a, I got it, honey. It's like, I said, we got to reverse the roles, man. This is bad, man. Yeah. Oh, no, baby. I got this. I'm good. Okay, well, can you give me the tire tool? You know, what is that? It's a little thing down. You take the lug nuts off. What are that? Something squirrels eat? And some of the guys have since done that time. I was thinking about having a school out here in the parking lot, you know. All you guys that don't know how to change it. Of course, nowadays, with the way they got all that stuff jacked underneath the bottom of that, and you got to turn a thing to let the cable down to get the wheel out from under that kind of a deal, you got about to have an engineering degree to get to a tire anymore. I better hurry up here. Is this helping you at all, making any sense? I sure am having a good time. The Bible says this, verse 1, having therefore these promises, 7:1, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the what? And perfecting holiness. Colossians. Come to Colossians 3. Just a couple more real quick. Cleanliness. It's still a biblical doctrine. Keep your ears clean. You say what? Don't be listening to filth. Don't be listening to slop. Don't be listening to this garbage on there. Girls, let me just tell you something. I got to tell you straight up now. These guys that are going to be interested in you as you grow older, they don't sing like whoever's out there now. Garth Brooks, I don't even know who's out there. They don't sing like that. They don't have a ukulele or a guitar or nothing else. They're not going to serenade you. And they're not going to say the stuff they say on them records. That's somebody that's smoking crack that's been in the nut house for a long time and he's trying to make up things for what he thinks it ought to be instead of what it was. But you get to thinking that that's what he's going to sing. You get a boy that'll even sing a hymn, you're doing good. I know what you girls are. You know, you get a chance to have a hymn picked up here and you say, I'll pick him and pick him and pick him. We're talking about singing songs here. But you got to understand, what you listen to, you watch this junk on TV, you think that's how a guy approaches you? Amen. Like the Hallmark Channel? Hi, Jill. Hi, John. How are you, Jill? Fine, John. It's nice to see you, Jill. Nice to see you, John. Get on with it. Would you like to have a coffee sometime? Well, I sure would, John. When would you like to go, Jill? I don't know. You decide. Let's go down yonder to the Dew Drop Inn. Okay, John. Gee, Jill, it's so wonderful. And then J&J walk in the aisle getting married. It don't work like that. First of all, they're so stupid they don't even know what to say when they walk up to you. It'll go something like this. Hi. He's at the end of his vocabulary. I'm not kidding you. He ain't thinking words when he's talking to you. He ain't thinking words. He got no sense at all. And then he'll say something like this. You're pretty. And you're like, is that P-E-R-T-Y? What is pretty? P-U-R-T? Pretty? What? What? P-U-R-D-I? What? What is wrong with that? And he's like, you don't get something to eat? And you're thinking, are we going to the hog trough? Where would you take me talking like that? You obviously have no table manners. Am I telling the truth? I'm telling the truth. I don't care how many degrees he's got behind his name, how sophisticated you think he is. And the worse they are and the better looking they are, the dumber they are because they're relying on their looks.
Hey, how you doing, baby?
Somebody walks in, they come up to talk to you, they think they're there to see them. Yeah. Honey, excuse me, he's here to see me. Need my autograph? Scored a touchdown last week, I know. You want to think pure. You get a guy that comes up to you and may give you one worth it. I'm going to church Sunday evening. Would you like to go?
Yes.
That boy's got a backbone.
Yes.
That's a boy that'll stand between you and a bullet or between you and a bully. That's a boy that won't leave you twisting in the wind when things get bad. That's a man in the making. You say, why? He's got courage. And you know what he figures? If you don't like God I like, then there's no point talking to you anyway.
Right.
He puts you to the test right off the bat.
Amen.
Yeah, man. Don't get no better than that. How do you think us old people have been around 40 years or so? But besides tolerant wives. But how do you think that is? That's the Lord doing that. That's the Lord doing that. We're talking about purity. Just a couple more of these things. Are you over here with me in Colossians chapter 3? Look, if you will, jump down to verse 8 quickly. But now you all put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing you put off the old man and his deeds and put on the new man. You know what he just said? Purity. Look at all that stuff in verse 8. You see that? You say, what is that? That leads to impure things. Let me just give you one more. Come to 2 Peter chapter 2, and then we'll call it a night. 2 Peter chapter 2. First one that gets there, holler bingo. Okay. Good for you. You win the prize. 2 Peter chapter number 2. Somebody will get that one and run with it, man. I did that in a meeting one time. I was joking around. I'd heard a preacher said he did it, and I thought it'd be funny. And I'm in a meeting one time, and back in those days, you would tell somebody to find a passage, and you'd say, when you get it, go ahead and stand up, you know. And you're not giving anything away. So I said, okay, is everybody ready? You know, back in the old days, you did sword drill. You had to hold your Bible like this. You remember that? And then you flip it, and you know, you go through it and that kind of thing. You catch lying kids, I mean, right off the bat, you know. They start, you know, they just open up. You know, it's kind of like, I got it. You know, so like, you're like, okay, read it. Oh, I didn't know you were going to make me do that. I thought you were going to take my word for it, you know, kind of thing. Yeah, I kind of caught you. Anyway, we're there, and I wasn't a real big church, a couple hundred people or whatever. And I just said, okay, now I said, if you find the passage first, I'd just like for you to stand up. You know, we'll recognize you and give you a round of applause or something like that. And so I said, okay, Hezekiah 3:4. And I mean, I had no sooner said that thing than a lady stood up just like that. Some of y'all are thinking, what's the problem with that? Hezekiah is a king in the Bible. It is not a book in the Bible. And now I'm thinking, this is what I'm thinking. Okay, idiot. Now you have made a fool of yourself now. And here's an elderly woman standing up there. And I said, help me, Lord, have mercy. I said, sister, I'm sure you thought I meant Haggai. Let's start all over again. And she's still standing there for a minute. And then she, you know, sits back down, and I thought, I'll never do that again, man. Man, I was embarrassed. She stood up, man. Hezekiah 3:7, you know, she's landing on the thing. And I think maybe it was the Lord saying that. Instead of me telling myself an idiot, the Lord's like, okay, idiot, how are you going to get out of this one? Lord, can I have an H? Can I have an H? Can Vanna White turn an H for me, please? Second Peter chapter 2, last one, verse 7. Make it 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, condemn them with an overflow, making them an example, ensample unto those that afterward should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, how, what? Vexed with his filthy conversation of the wicked. You know what he just said about Lot? Lot's life was ruined because of hanging around with people, not just words, deeds, impure living, too close to the cotton, got to be a judge in Sodom. Wouldn't that be great? Man, I'm a politician, I'm a judge, I'm a big shot, I'm a big dog, man. I'm in office. Really, what's the name of the city? Sodom. Whew. You think that's a promotion? Lot said, well, yeah. He vexed his righteous conversation by the people he hung out with. You know what he said? So that your youth is not despised, make sure that you pay attention to your purity. Stay clean. Stay clean. I remember talking to a young girl one time. She's about a pretty rough life. And I remember seeing her right after she had gotten out of prison, and she had deserved to go to prison, and she did some ungodly, unspeakable things. That girl was, I think, 25 or 26. She was in a gang back then when I knew her. Just gotten beat out, and anyhow, I can't remember, about 25 years of age. I'll think of her name in just a minute. I can see her face. And man, I'm going to tell you what, boy, I mean, she had a face make an undertaker cry. She was just, I mean, my goodness, man. She was 25 years old, looked like she was not a day nay under 50 years of age. I mean, just horrible, where just sin had just wore her out, just aged her 25 or 30 years. And I remember running into that girl somewhere. She came back down there to bring one of her friends to where I was working at the time to get me to help her with a particular case and that kind of a thing. And she walked in. I didn't recognize her. And I said, "Ma'am, can I help you?" She said, "You don't know me, do you?" I said, "No, ma'am, I don't believe I do." She said, "You don't remember meeting me?" And I said, "No, ma'am, I believe I'd remember you." That girl looked like she was probably 30 years of age. And then when she told me who she was, I still wasn't sure. She said, "You don't remember me? I was in the gang with so-and-so." And suddenly I said, "Yeah, you went to prison." And she goes, "Yes, sir, that's me." She said, "But when I was in prison, I got saved. And when I got back out of prison, I got my life on track and stuff like that. And I've been doing my best to live for the Lord since that time and trying to help some of these girls that are getting messed up." And I thought to myself, man, look at the difference. That girl's done taken 20 years off her life by just cleaning up her act. That old preacher used to say this to me. He said, you know, people would ask him sometimes. He was way on up there, late 80s, early 90s. And people would say to him all the time, "You sure do look young." You know what he would say? He'd say, "The book gives you a facelift." That's what he'd say. He'd say, "Ma'am, I got something better." He called it plastic surgery. He didn't know about Botox and stuff. He'd say, "Ma'am, I got something for you. You got bad wrinkles? Read the Bible." "Read the Bible," he said. He said, "You know what it'll do? It'll change your countenance." I found that to be true. I'm really 102. I just never told anybody till just now. All right, let's stand together and be dismissed. God bless you, folks. I can't thank you enough for coming. I really do appreciate it very much. You faithful old mules, you, boy, I'm going to tell you what. It's a real blessing to have you here. I hope you have a great week. I really do. I pray the Lord give you answer to all your prayers. And, boy, I mean, make things fat on the table. Go home and eat you a donut and a cup of hot chocolate. All right.